Well, next hour with our floating format, Robert Moss joins us as we talk about the secret history of dreaming, how people can try to hack into your own dreams to affect you. When we come back, though, we're going to take phone calls with the profiler, Pat Brown, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Pat, before we go to calls, what kind of tips for people to avoid these sickos, these wackos out there?
Well, I'd like to start with what guys can do, because I often hear guys say, hey, wait a minute, you know, they're always saying that we're these bad guys. We're out there killing women, and we're killing off our families and killing our girlfriends and killing our stepkids and all that stuff. And they say, what about those bad women out there? And yeah, guys, you got something to watch out for, too. And I'll tell you the number one problem people have when they get in relationships. It's called neediness. In other words, we need something so badly, we overlook all the signs and throw our logic out the window. So, for example, here you are, you're a 60-year-old guy. You know, you got a big gut, you drink a lot of beer, your hair is missing, and you make an average salary, and you kind of haven't been able to find a lady in your life for maybe a decade. And suddenly comes this 40-year-old woman. She just shows up either through a dating service or some want ad, or she just pops into a bar one day, and she's 20 years younger than you. And she has this great line. She says, all I'm looking for is a hardworking, honest guy, and I like watching sports, and I like dogs, and I like fishing, and I like drinking beer. And this guy's like, dang, that's my perfect lady. What every guy would want. And she wants me because I'm hardworking and honest. And he lets her move into his house like within 3 weeks, and without getting to know her, without finding out that she is an upstanding lady, whether she really likes him for him. He's just so excited. Hey, look at this. She's going to move in. She's cleaning my house. She's having sex with me. How did I get so lucky? And then about, you know, half a year later, he's been shot to death with his own gun. Golly gee, he committed, quote, suicide.
Oh,
and sucks all his money.
Unbelievable. And how many times did she do this before?
Exactly. That's what we call the black widow. But sometimes it isn't even that she's going to steal. She's not necessarily going to kill you, but she might go in there and just use you for everything you've got. You know, she'll take all your money. She'll make you pay for her children. She'll get, you know, she'll just rake you over the coals. And we sometimes see this with guys also getting these women from other countries.
Oh, yeah.
And
these mail order types.
Yeah, the beautiful girl on the internet, and she's this beautiful blonde girl from Russia or something. And, I mean, certainly some of these women are lovely, but a lot of them are looking for a guy to, you know, be able to come to the country and use his money. And if, you know, you look at yourself, and you look at the girl, and you say, really, would this woman normally have an interest in me?
Well, yeah, but you see, most guys, for example, won't question that. They won't look at themselves and say, What do I think I can do? What's comparable for me? Nobody would do that.
Exactly. And women are just as foolish sometimes. They'll be desperate again. They're lonely, and let's say they have two children, and they're really lonely. And here comes this guy, and he woos them, and he doesn't have a job, mind you, and you really don't know anything about him. But you let him move into your house like in a week, and then you wonder why he molested your children. Well, it's because he didn't want you. He wanted your kids.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So you know what you want to do is sure. You know, be excited if you have somebody you're getting to know, but don't let them in your house. Don't let them move in. Don't let them meet your children. And I'll tell you, if they're only interested in money or in raping your kids, they're going to be gone real quick, because they're not going to wait around for a year while that you date them and get to know them. So time is your safety. And I know it's not as, you know, it's kind of depressing sometimes when they just disappear, but you probably get rid of a good thing.
Oh, I don't remember the name of the movie, but Selma Hayek was in it, and she was whacked out along with her boyfriend, and they would kill women that the boyfriend would marry and date for money, and they were doing it all around the country. Good movie, whacked out storyline.
Yeah, I'm not sure I remember that one, but, you know, it does remind me of Paul Bernard and Carla Homolka up in Canada. They were the couple that got married, and they would kidnap girls, and they would rape them together and videotape it and then murder them. And Canada's just furious about this, because they finally did catch them, but Carla turned on Paul, and she got this really little teeny sentence. And she is now out, and she is remarried and has a baby. Isn't that sweet?
Okay, next up we go to, let's go to the calls. Eli in Anaheim, California, first-time caller. And then we'll talk about some of the other tips.
Hi, Eli. I'd like to thank your guest, but I also like to correct her. I don't think they have serial killers in, for example, China or the Middle East. Yes, we do. Children over there are not exposed to violence on TV as much as we have here.
And I wish I could believe you. Well, say you're correct, Eli. No, there are definitely serial killers in every country.
We probably have more, right?
Not as many.
Not
as much as we have here.
No, I would agree with that. What do you say, Pat? We probably have more here, don't we?
I say we have quite a lot here, but I say a lot of countries. I've looked at their statistics. They're not that good. A lot of times they're just simply not caught, and they're also not advertised, but they do exist. Now, there is one possibility, which is sometimes true. If you're in a community which everybody does know everybody, it's harder to commit those crimes and get away with them. So the more broken up the community is, the more difficult it is to commit the crimes. And also if you're victims, it's harder to get the victims, it's more difficult to commit the crimes. Or if you have a country which has a very, very lethal death penalty, and you have people who are psychopaths who might like to commit the crime, but don't because it's too dangerous. And there's one other thing. Sometimes you'll have psychopaths who will find another avenue, like, for example, gangbangers. You know, if you're growing up in certain areas of in a country where you might have, if it's you have that opportunity to join a gang and do violent things, you might choose that path as opposed to choosing another path.
The bind, torture, kill, the BTK killer, Dennis Rader.
Right.
Did his family even suspect anything was wrong? How could a guy live with someone, or how could people live with someone and not know this?
Well, the trick is, and this is what the serial killer does, and this is what also we see happening with the men who marry the women who kill off the babies. It's the same thing. A serial killer of either sex will find adults. They'll simply find a person who is not all that, is pretty naive, tends to be maybe sort of into their own little world, and is, you can just basically pull the wool over their eyes. So when they date, there's a great example with DeBart Lieben. He was a serial killer out of Virginia, and he went on this date. He got a teacher, a young school teacher. She was I think in her early 20s. She was a kindergarten teacher. She goes out with him. She says, on our first date, he pulled out his license and he said, look at this. And I said, what about it? And he goes, oh, I made it. And then she says the amazing words. On our second date, you think, what the heck? He pulls out a $20 bill and he says, check this out. And she looks at it and she goes, what about it? And he goes, I made this. On our third date, well, you can see what kind of, where she was obviously not getting the picture. And she ended up married this guy a long time, and he actually tortured her. So he actually did audio tapes of him torturing her, and then he ended up being he was a big counterfeiter, and he killed tons of women too.
So. Okay, so what other tips for guys and for women?
Yeah, the basic tips are, first of all, I say don't be too needy. Realize that you respect yourself enough to say, you know, I might like to have companionship, but I can wait for the right thing. And then pay attention to how that person actually treats you. Because a psychopath, they may be good in a first meeting or a couple hours, but the true nature is always going to come through. They're going to show that they're very self-centered, extremely narcissistic. They're not really going to be interested in you. Are your feelings. They're going to be unempathetic towards you. They usually are pathological liars.
Well, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio just said that he had better dates and better opportunities before he hit it big with Titanic than what's happening in his life now. Because he said when he went out before he was a superstar,
right.
Women went out with him because they liked him. That is
the problem. I mean, anybody who's in the limelight has to be very careful of what the person actually likes you for. But this is actually true for anybody. For example, when you meet somebody, you're not necessarily, you like them for everything they are. A woman, for example, meets an airline pilot, and she's all impressed because he's got a cool uniform, and he flies all over the world, and she thinks he makes good money. So she's all enamored by that. So you're always going to have that. But if you just don't rush into the relationship, I have a thing I call 2 + 2 = a safe life for getting married. And that is, take 2 years to get to know the person before you marry them.
Let's go to
take two more years to have kids. So you make sure that person's decent to be with before you start hurting your children. And vice versa for men.
Santa Cruz we go. Dorothy, you're up with us on the wild card line. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. I would like to ask Pat's opinion. If she has any insight into two unsolved possible murder or murderers plural. One is the Zodiac Killer in Vallejo, California, and the other is the Smiley Face Killer or Killers around the Great Lakes.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
I'll mention the Zodiac. I think they really didn't know who Zodiac was. I just don't think they'd ever come up with a proof to get him, but I think they had an idea who he was. I do believe that those fanciful, those cryptograms he wrote,
yes,
but probably the reason they never could solve any of them was they didn't mean anything. He probably just made up a bunch of junk, and they spent all their time going crazy trying to figure them out. And as far as that, the Smiley Face Killers, I'm going to tell people what this is all about. What happened is there's a lot of young men who ended up in the drinks, usually after they were drinking. They would go out to bars, college students, young, very handsome young men, usually very, very well-built guys, strong fellas. They would go drinking, and then they'd end up in a lake, or they'd end up in a river, mostly around... a lot around Minnesota, Wisconsin, and, of course, the 94 corridor is kind of along the way. All these guys sort of ended up in the water. And the theory has come up that there's this gang on the Internet who is called the Smiley Face Killers, and they are targeting these guys and picking them out, and then they go to the bar and do these guys in. However, they never leave any evidence of any, generally speaking, any violence on their bodies. They just end up drowned. And I personally think it's a pile of bunk. I think the two retired detectives are looking for a book, and they have exaggerated the circumstances of these cases. The smiley faces that they claim are all over the place are really not all over the place. These guys supposedly painted a smiley face somewhere in the vicinity, like, like you see the little round face with a smile in it, and they stuck it on a tree or they stuck it on a building or whatever. And it's highly exaggerated. Most of these young men truly were just drinking and fell in the water. They're so drunk they're going maybe to urinate in the water and they fell in, or they just do something stupid. And it's possible that one or two of them could have been murdered by somebody in a robbery attempt, something to that effect. Certainly the case in Minnesota where the young man supposedly went off the bridge, but I don't believe it. I believe it was placed in the water. I think that particular case was a murder, but I don't think it had anything to do with any smiley face killers. I think that's just one of those. It's turning into an urban myth, and it's totally crazy. And I think they're just looking for a good Hollywood movie to make a pile of money off.
Pat, do you ever get frustrated in any of these cases?
Oh well, the frustration lies in realizing that some of these could have been solved if they had been analyzed properly earlier. This is one of the things I do with the Sexual Homicide Exchange. We're really getting together a great group now of detectives, profilers, forensics people to do training across the United States for law enforcement. Because, fortunately, any detective will tell you, it's like any business. You get some really smart detectives, and you get some guys who just aren't that logical. And many of them just don't get the training right up front that they could use when they're starting into their fields. They just, we think they all get really well trained, but a lot of them, there's just not the funding to do it. And then we just have the fact that they're so overloaded with work, they're lucky to have a day to work on the case. And then they go out and they do the detective stuff, but they don't have time to sit back and analyze it. And that's why I want to get those profilers in all the departments. So while they're running around doing all that, somebody like me can be sitting back there in the office just going over all the information, all the photos, and analyzing the case, and they can come back in and say, what you got for me? And I can say, here's what I see, and give them the crime reconstruction and what I believe is a good avenue to go down and why I think scientifically this is the way to go. So that's what I'm hoping to do. So I try not to let the fact that it's a long road get to me. And I've been in it 14 years, and I'm planning to live a long time. So we're seeing changes, and I think we're going to see progress in the future in this.
Where can you go to school if you want to be a profiler? I mean, criminal justice curriculum in colleges?
Not really. Criminal justice doesn't even cover it, and that's a problem. When I started in this field, there wasn't a shred of anything for an independent profiler to study. Certainly not the kind of profiling I like, which is called deductive, which is like Sherlock Holmes type, where you really analyze all the evidence and you don't make any gut feelings or just guesswork type of stuff. I actually did all my own research when I got into this field. I read some 400 books, and I've read way more now, but that's where I started, with 400 books that I read, and forensics and psychology and serial homicide investigation and crime reconstruction. And now I have developed the first criminal profiling certificate program in the country, which can be taken online through Excelsior College. So that's the first one. And I'm developing my own school, which will go online eventually, which will focus on exactly what you need to know, because that's what happens when you go take one of these programs like program of forensics, most of the forensics courses are about lab work. Well, as a profile, you don't need to do lab work. You need to understand trauma to the body and what made those marks on the body and how the body responded to being strangled or stabbed, those kinds of things. We need to learn blood spatter pattern and ballistics, and we need to learn how to reconstruct the crime, and we need to understand psychopath behavior. We need to analyze statements. We need to do all of that, but that's not included in any particular course except for the one I developed for Excelsior and the one I'm developing for my own school.
All right, let's go to Long Beach, California. Davida, west of the Rockies. Hi there. Go ahead.
George. Well, for many years, it had occurred to me why there are some serial killers, they're men, that kill only prostitutes. And it occurred to me that, say, a little boy doesn't know anything about prostitution or sex or anything, and he knows his mother works at night. She leaves the house at night. She comes back early in the morning. And but then he gets older, and he learns about sex and prostitution, and he finds out that his mother is a prostitute, and it's just so horrible for him to learn this. But there's nothing he can do about it. He's still a boy. He's not grown up, and it keeps going through his mind and feelings all these years until he becomes a man, and then he snaps. And he starts serial killing prostitutes.
What do you think of that, Pat?
Well, that's an interesting theory. Really, it's what's really fascinating is the reason guys usually kill prostitutes is not necessarily that they're prostitutes because he's so angry at women, you know, or his mother for doing such a thing, but simply because they're convenient. They're the easiest target out there. When you think about it, they're not missed. I mean, when a prostitute goes missing, half the time nobody knows, thinks she just left town. A lot of them are into drugs, so they think she went after a drug deal. Sometimes the police don't investigate them as strongly because they think, maybe the pimp killed her. And the easiest thing about a prostitute is this. It's very easy to get them. In other words, all you have to do is drive up in a car and say, hey, babe, want to make some money? She gets in the car, and she goes away with you. And what's fascinating about a lot of the guys who kill prostitutes is what they do is they hang around prostitutes. They actually use the prostitutes and bring them back alive. So let's say you got Joe. Like seriously, it's this guy out in the Grim Sleeper out in California. He made use of prostitutes. So what happens is he goes out with Mary, brings Mary back. Then he goes out with Jody, he brings Jody back. Then he goes out with Cindy, he brings Cindy back. And then he goes out with Tiffany, and Tiffany doesn't come back. But nobody knows Tiffany got in his car. They never saw her get in his vehicle.
Right.
So when she disappears, they don't think of Joe because, hey, Joe's one of the regular customers, and all the girls were fine. He was fine with all those girls.
That's what they do.
Him.
All right, well, stay with us, Pat. We're going to come back with you in just a moment. By the way, Bruce in New Hampshire sends me the note that movie I was talking to you about, the Selma Hayek movie, is called Lonely Hearts, and it's based on a true story. An incredible story at that. We're going to come back in just a moment. We'll take final phone calls. Pat's book we're talking about, The Profiler, My Life Hunting Serial Killers and Psychopaths. Pat's website, patbrownprofiling.com. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey, do you like technology? Well, you're going to love Streamlink Coast Insider. That's what we are going to call it soon. Go to our website and learn how to pick it up for just pennies a day and a lot more things coming down the old road for Streamlink in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back with calls and Pat Brown. Okay, welcome back. We're Pat Brown, and we're going to go to your calls in just a second. Pat, do you travel around the country speaking to any groups about profiling?
Yeah, I do. I speak quite often at homicide conferences and sometimes I'll be doing things with people like schools who would like to I'll talk to schools about how the students can be safe, especially high school and college students when they go into their dating lives and make their choices, how to stay safe, you know, when you're going out in groups and dating, and also, you know, drinking at night. You know, we have all these date rape problems that girls get, you know, unfortunate situations, and things like Jordan Vonder's floats are out there, you know.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Now, remember Natalie Holloway, you know, has just out with their friends having a lovely time in Aruba, you know, and you know, celebrating ending high school, and then Janet ended up, unfortunately, having her life ended as well because she went off with Jordan Vonder's float, who is like the worst date you can go with.
He's a piranha.
He absolutely is. He's what I call a serial date rapist with a rage problem. I don't believe he's a serial killer, but I think what happens is when he goes out on these dates with women, he expects getting sex out of them. And if he gets cooperative sex, well, he's happy. And if he has to drug them a little, so be it. If he has to force it, he's okay with that. We don't rat him out. But, you know, somebody like Stephanie Flores, who went back to his hotel with him in Peru, and, you know, she obviously said no to him, and he brutally killed her. So, you know, you have to watch out for those kind of guys and stay with the pack and don't go off with people you really don't know.
Well, she should have been smarter too, though. Why'd she go back to her hotel room with him?
I think because when, you know, when you're young, you meet a guy your age, you just don't think he's going to kill you. You think he's a fun, friendly guy, and he seems so nice, and romance gets into girls' brains. And not Stephanie Flores' case, because apparently she was, her friends say she was lesbian, so she wasn't exactly interested in him for sex, but who knows, she went back with him, maybe just a place to stay that night because they're both gambling. You feel safe. I remember traveling around when I was younger, backpacking and, you know, traveling about, and I remember meeting people and going back to their place with them and staying, you know, sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag or whatever, thinking it was perfectly fine. He was, you know, another young, nice young guy. Luckily, I didn't get killed, but, you know, it could happen.
Somebody was telling me a story at how one of his friends years ago met some guy hitchhiking, and it was Charlie Manson.
Yeah, that's the one you don't want to meet, exactly. Whenever you're alone, you become a target. And it really, it's just like animals, you know, and the lions going after the gazelles, and you look for that one gazelle that gets, you know, separated from the pack, and then you take your chances. That's why you can't go jogging alone if you're a female, you know, some lonely path, and, you know, you don't want to be going down the dark street
by
yourself.
You can't do it. You cannot do it. You can't go hiking by yourself. You can't. You just can't do
that. It really sucks, and I know a lot of people out there saying, well, we should have the right to do that, and we should. We should absolutely have the right, but unfortunately, psychopaths don't care about your rights.
That's exactly right. Panama City, Florida. Let's go to Isaiah. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Isaiah.
Hello, George, for a long-time listener. Okay. I got a pat for Mrs. Brown there.
All righty.
Okay. Did you profile Robert Fry out of Farmington, New Mexico?
Not ringing a bell.
Oh, okay. Well, he was a serial killer that got arrested back in 2000, I do believe it was. He was part of an eclectic kind of witchcraft group out of Farmington.
Right.
But do you think that a lot of these movies that are coming out, like Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses, and, you know, the movies that are glamorizing, you know, serial killings and all that, do you think that might play a part in some of the serial killings that's been going on and all that?
Well, I don't know that it really influences the serial killers when they're already, you know, 20 years old. But I think
about the younger people.
Yeah, I really do. I have a real thing against gore and slasher films, and I've had a lot of some gore and slasher lovers just really, you know, get angry at me and write me terrible, nasty emails and go on the internet and say, that Pat Brown, she's nuts. But what happens is, if you're a healthy young person with, you know, a good family and your mind is in the right place, you can see a gore slasher film, I suppose, and come away and say, oh, that was kind of cool. I don't even know how you say that. Because what these slasher films do is, it's not a film where you feel sorry for the victim. You're actually taking the place of the serial killer in your mind. You're going, cool, get her, look at it. He's stabbing her, he's ripping her eyes out, he's torturing her. I don't understand why it's a good thing to get thrilled by somebody being tortured to death. That to me is really, really sick. And I think the more young people see this at a young age, if you already have personality disorder developing, the more violent ideation you put into that makes it think, you think it's cool. And so at some point, you just like to act that stuff out because you think it's neat. And some of these killers have said, mass murderers, for example, like the Columbine guys, I mean, they thought it would be cool to go shoot all their classmates down. It becomes fun for them, and it becomes something that, you know, they watch the fantasy so much, they want to do it for themselves, because now the fantasy is not good enough. They want to feel what it's really like to be the one in control and the one to have power. So I think it's very detrimental to our young people, and I would like to see a lot of those films be stopped.
Robert Fry was teased and bullied when he was a kid. When he was three, he was psychologically abused. His babysitter used to put ketchup on her face and pretend she was dead when he would look at her.
Yeah. Now the question here sometimes is, they do sometimes have really bad childhoods where they have a lot of this input going into their heads, which is screwing them up. And sometimes they lie about it later on just to make a good story. So it's kind of hard to tell where the truth lies. But here's something I try to tell people. When they say, oh, these things don't have that much of an effect, you know, you're exaggerating violence on television, violence in video games, porn, slasher films, you're exaggerating. I ask them this question. Why do you pay so much money for a spot on the Super Bowl? Because advertising works.
It works.
And if advertising works to sell you stuff, then all this kind of stuff going into your head, especially at the young age, must have an influence on you.
With these serial killers, Pat, is there, in your opinion, an absence of love when they're brought up?
I do believe there's something wrong in the family, yes. I don't believe that we're talking about usually a totally intact family with a really good system of caring and love. I tend to find that the father is distant or missing, and I tend to find that the mother is rather, she's trying to make up for it, so she's coddling, overly coddling. And it just develops in that serial killer just a kind of a rage that he's not getting what he needs, and he just becomes very angry at everybody. Really, really serial killers hate society. And they want to get back at it one way or the other.
Unconditional love, I think, when you're a child, does incredible things to you in terms of building your character and personality when you grow up.
Well, you certainly need a lot of love. What we don't need is the kind of love where we'll let you get away with everything and don't pay attention to your behavior. We see that sometimes also where the parent is not teaching the child
right and wrong
to love other people, to have any empathy. They let them get away with so much, and they say, oh, it's just a phase he's going through. He's just the terrible twos, and now it's the rotten threes, and now it's the fearsome fours. I mean, so keep making excuses. Now you're going through a teen thing. Now, maybe your child is developing a personality disorder, so you really, from the time they're babies, have to provide a good home for them. And that's we see sometimes with the children, for example, from Russia, we've seen that orphans coming over. And remember the woman who sent the kid back? Everybody's so mad about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was terrified of that child. That child wanted to kill her. And he probably was totally detached when he was a baby. He just had no love.
Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. Andrea, there you are. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Pat Brown. How are you?
I'm doing good.
My question is, you were actually just talking about it. I was wondering, you know, it seems like we're so stuck on wanting to rehabilitate or finding what happened to these people in their past instead of accepting that we can't give them their conscience back and we need to study them and keep them in jail and, you know, not release them back into society or start paying attention to the people around us and, you know, actually seeing more of what's going on, you know.
Oh, you're so correct about that. I mean, really, we have to keep people from becoming psychopaths. Sadly, when they do become violent psychopaths, like you're talking about, it's kind of like a rabid dog. I mean, I'm really sorry he became rabid, and we should prevent rabies. But once you got a rabid dog, you put him down. You don't put him back out in society. And we understand that with rabid dogs, but we seem to have this really bizarre concept where, okay, so the guy killed three women, but maybe we can help him out and make him feel better, and he can be a contributing member to society. Really? I mean, what kind of person steps over the line to kill three women? I mean, you know, we're not talking about a child who's shoplifted. We're talking about somebody who brutally rapes and murders people. This is somebody you can never trust, who never should be out. And my theory is always this. When you can rehabilitate those three victims, we'll work on the serial killer.
I don't think child molesters can ever be rehabilitated.
Those are the same thing. Child molesters are psychopaths. They're sexual psychopaths. And again, we look at this kind of situation. How many of us who are healthy people would ever consider hurting a child, especially sexually? I mean, it's just so disgusting and repugnant to us. So when a person's willing to do that, they can't be around. I mean, it's just that should be, we don't have long enough sentences for that. So when we got a guy who, you know, grabs the kid off the street and rapes him or her, you know, that should be the end of it.
That should be life in prison.
Life in prison or death penalty, depending which way you go on it, but they should never, ever come back.
What do psychiatrists say? Do they say that these people can be rehabilitated?
You know, we have a really weird rift in the psychological community. Some psychologists seem to get the point. that these people are too damaged and too dangerous to ever let back out. They have no conscience, and they never will. And then we have the other ones who, for some reason, keep being buying into the fact that they had a bad childhood, and you can just teach them, you know, how to love people, that you can put them back out there. And, it's crazy, and I don't know why they don't get it that you can't.
I love animals, but if you have an animal that begins to attack people, I'm not sure you can save that animal.
Exactly. I mean, most of the time it's a done deal. And the fact is, when I say, when you have, we have laws for a reason, and these are just things that no normal human being does. And, there's no way back. And I just think that we got to get that straight in our head, that we can work on rehabilitating people who come from, you know, a bad neighborhood and have committed some minor crimes, teach them a better way to live, get them some education and get them back into the community in a safe manner, let them earn their way back into the community, pay back their victims, and then become good citizens. But when you're talking about rapists and serial killers, throw away the key.
Let's go to Dan in Mississippi, east of the Rockies. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
Ms. Brown, I'm glad I stayed up for this one. I want to turn the tables on you.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, serial killers, they wrench my gut just like they do any other person. I live in a neighborhood that's got 17 houses in this neighborhood, 16 kids under 15 years old, and we've got a child predator that's been living here for 2 years.
Oh.
So you tell me, I'm a single dad of a 13-year-old.
And I assume, is he registered, Dan? Not that it means anything, but...
Yes.
Okay.
We've done, our state has a website where you can, go onto it and find where they live.
So he's right there in the community.
Yes.
Yep.
And, I want to turn the tables on you and profile a child molester for me, where I can, talk to these... I've got 4 sets of single moms in this neighborhood.
Well, you don't have to profile them. You already know he is one, right?
I know it, but what do we look for? As some of these parents don't know what to look for.
You mean signs that he's doing what he's doing?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's one of the typical problems. That's one of where it makes no sense to me that a person has committed a horrific crime. And I'm not talking about some, 18-year-old boy who had sex with a 15-year-old girl. We're talking about, if we have a real child predator, they should never be back in the community because they can't be trusted. You can't watch them 24 hours a day. And they go, they're supposed to show up at their little appointments and tell people where they're living. Oh, goody two-shoes, because aren't you just a liar anyway? You're a pathological liar, so why should we believe you? So it's very, very dangerous. What I've tried to tell parents is what I told my boys when they were growing up. And I have three kids they're all grown up now. But my sons would say to me something like, when they were like 8 years old, Mom, can we walk up to the park by ourselves? And I'd say, no. And they go, why not? And I go, because I can beat you up.
Well, and the other thing, though, that...
if I can beat you up, then the sex predator can beat you up. So when you get to the age where he can't do that to you, then you can walk to the park.
But, Pat, the signs aren't necessarily going to be watching this predator, because Dan already knows he is one. I think what he needs to do is watch the signs of his children and see if they start acting peculiar.
Well,
and strange,
you have to make sure your children don't have... I mean, personally, I believe in really protecting your kids. I'm sorry, but this is a society we live in. I just believe in protecting your children. You don't let your children go to people's houses you do not know and do not trust. Don't let your children wander around where they can get in trouble. Because children are stupid, and people always get mad at me when I say, they go, my child isn't stupid. Yeah, they are.
Well, I would say they're naive.
Your children are so easily manipulated. And we can teach them all the just say no type of things, or watch, don't let people touch you type of things. But children are so manipulated. That's why we have parents. When they get to the point where they can not be manipulated and not be harmed at a certain age, you can start letting them off the leash a little bit more and a little bit more. But you have to be protective of them and not just say, I'm going to teach them. I'm going to sit down and read them this manual and then send them out there and they run around the neighborhood for 6 hours a day and hope they don't get in trouble. I mean, unfortunately, it just isn't like that. It's like being on the African plain. If you know the lions are out there, you just don't go wandering around.
All right. Good luck, Dan. How do you keep doing this day in and day out without getting beaten down yourself?
Well, you know, I look at what I can do. I look at trying to save people's lives, getting information out that will help them not end up with bad boyfriends, bad girlfriends, not end up with child abusers in their own home. Hopefully, protect, you know, teach women and men how not to get killed and how not to get the kids killed, and hopefully they'll start getting more of these killers off the street earlier. So that's how I just look at that positively. And then I have great family and friends, and I have good hobbies, and so I make sure that I do a lot of good things in life as well, you know, that are pleasant. And you know, I don't go watching a lot of serial killer movies.
Well, I got to tell you, Pat, it's hard enough to make sure you're not a victim of a random crime, right? That's all over the place. Now we got to worry about serial killers.
Well, I think we just have to realize that we have to protect ourselves, and we have to. When I go out, I make sure I don't do really stupid things. I mean, you can't protect yourself from everything in the world. This is just, there's no way to do that. But I don't go jogging. I'm a female. I do go jogging, but I only go jogging around an area where there's a lot of people. I make sure I don't do it at dusk. I make sure I don't get drunk and go staggering down some alley toward my car in the dark. And don't ask a security guard to walk you to your car, because one of the number one jobs of serial killers is a security guard.
What?
Yeah, that's actually true. And it's not. I'm not knocking security guards, because most of the security guards are wonderful people. But let's face it, we need a lot of security guards in all the malls and all the office buildings. And most of the security guards don't have to have much of a background to get the job. So they need them so badly, you just basically, if you breathe, you get the job. We see the same problem with handymen. And I said something on television the other day, and some handyman wrote me, and he was all mad. He said, "Oh, we have, you know, our handymen are the most wonderful guys, and we have the key to the city." I'm like, no, it's a lot of great handymen, but let's face it, it's easy to get the job as a handyman. You put up a little flyer in the grocery store, and people like me, I mean, I'm a single woman. I need somebody to work on my house. I got to find a guy to fix stuff up. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to find them. So, you know, you go to the store and you rip one of those little sheets down and you get the guy comes over. You don't know what it is.
Well, look at The Green Mile. Look at that movie. You'll know all about handyman. Pat, thanks for being on the program. It's incredible. The Profiler, My Life Hunting Serial Killers and Psychopaths. Up next, we're going to be talking about the secret history of dreaming. Can people really hack into your dream to control you?